Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Bob, Richard, and I would love to hear from you. If you're hearing this program during the first half of the 3 p.m. hour Central Time, you can speak with us live right now at 844-322-2742. Otherwise, use that same number and record your question or comment. Again, that's 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Good to have you back in studio with us today.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be back.
I know you had a wonderful vacation last week. Indeed. We missed you, but we're glad you are back with us today.
Well, thanks for the welcome back. As I said, it's good to be back.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're talking about living in the power of the resurrection. What does it actually mean to us to know the power of the resurrection in our day-to-day lives? And I think that's the key to really living the Christian life. Apart from the power of Christ's resurrection living in us, there's no hope. There's no opportunity for us really to live up to what God has designed us to be as human beings, as His children. And that's to be image bearers, people who reflect the very image of God, His love, His life, His grace, His mercy, out into this world in which we live. So apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, being able to live out the will of God for us is an impossibility. Mm-hmm. And that's what we found out when we tried to live up to the righteous standards of the law, those Ten Commandments. We just didn't have in us what it took to do that. That's why God found reason for a new covenant. And He had talked about that in the Old Testament, and He said there is a time coming. And that time came when Christ was crucified, when He was buried, and then He was raised back from the dead. He ushered in a new covenant in which God writes His laws in our hearts and on our minds. And yesterday we asked the question, well, what laws were written on our hearts and minds? Did He just take those Ten Commandments that were once written on stones and transcribe those onto our hearts and into our minds? Well, absolutely not. He didn't need to do that. Those were written on stone, and that's exactly where God wanted those to be. What He wanted to write on our hearts was faith, hope, and love. Those were the things that really enable us to live out God's will in day-to-day life. If we don't have faith in Jesus, if we don't have hope, if we don't have an expression of that faith and hope in love, we're going to miss the mark. Yeah. And so God did something for us, and that something that He did for us was prophesied a long time ago. Moses wrote about that in Deuteronomy, didn't he?
Actually, in Deuteronomy means second law. Moses rehearsed the entire covenant back with Israel and yet prophesied this for way down the road. This is in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live.
It's a powerful prophecy.
Yeah.
It speaks to our need. So here they were. They had the law. It had been given to them at Mount Sinai. They had wandered in the desert for about 40 years. This was before they were about to go into the promised land. And so He's reiterating the law. But they were unable to keep it. They couldn't even keep commandment number one. They kept falling back and worshiping other gods. They built the golden calf and said, "You, O God, you brought us out of Egypt and set us free." So they attributed God's work to this golden calf that they had made and imaged or formed after their own image. Yeah. And they kept bowing down to other gods. That was always their problem. That was their history. And the reason why is because their hearts weren't right. Their hearts were not in the right place. Their hearts were still in the world. And that's where all of our hearts were, in the world. They were in darkness. And so something had to happen to our hearts to enable us to carry out the will of God. And first and foremost, that will of God is for us to live. And the way that we live is when we love God, when we love God over and above everything else that's in the world, where He holds the preeminent place in our lives, where He is the heart of our very lives. Well, there was only one way for that to happen, and that was for new birth to occur. That's the circumcision of the heart. That happens the moment that we come to Christ by faith. Our hearts are circumcised. That old evil is cut aside, it's cut away, so that we can love the Lord our God with all of our heart and live. And that's exactly what happens, isn't it, Richard?
It is. And I love the way Moses put this, so that it is without question that loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, is the result of work that God does in us. It's not the cause of the work God does
right.
in us. It must be God's initiative, and our love is our response to what he has done
yes,
for
indeed.
Us.
Yes, indeed. So we had hearts that were wicked and deceitful above all things. Who could know them? Mm-hmm. That's what our hearts were like before we came to Christ. So there's no way for those deceitful hearts to genuinely, authentically love God. God did something. He circumcised our hearts. And in that circumcision, he created new hearts so that we could genuinely love God.
Yeah.
And we genuinely love God by trusting him, by depending upon him. That's what it means to love God. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, John says the commands are these, and they're not burdensome, they're easy. And the first one is to believe in the Lord Jesus. How do we love God? We believe in the Lord Jesus. And that belief in the Lord Jesus is going to express itself in love for others. That's how this works. So God did the work necessary for our hearts to love him. He's come to live inside of us. He is working in us to do and to will of his good pleasure. We simply trust, and we'll see the results in our day-to-day lives.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. And as I said earlier, if you're hearing this program during the first half of the 3 p.m. hour Central Time, you can speak with us live right now. I want you to do that, 844-322-2742. You know, at Basic Gospel, we're always getting questions about forgiveness. There's a lot of confusion, of course, because many believers don't understand that God loves them and that they belong to him forever. With your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a CD that can help. It's entitled God's Will for You, and it's by Bob Christopher. The New Covenant actually is God's will, ushered in at the death of Jesus. And in that will, you're going to find everything that you need for a life of assurance. The CD, God's Will for You, is your gift this month from Basic Gospel as you make yours to support the ministry. Just click the large link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're streaming, as you said, to Facebook Live. We're getting some comments. We have a question from Edson, who wants some clarification on 1 Corinthians 15:29. And so this is the great resurrection chapter. Paul is talking and raising the question, what if? What if Christ had not been raised from the dead? And in verse 29, he writes this, otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? So, Richard, what is Paul actually doing here? Is he attacking or some beliefs that people had? So they were baptizing on behalf of the dead, and yet they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, did they?
Yeah, that's exactly what was going on. Things that they carried over into their belief system from their old pagan ways, where you are always trying to buy your loved ones out of wherever your religion sent them, so you would be baptized for the dead. And they thought, well, you know, there's this baptism that we did, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and we were baptized into that. Why not baptize the dead? And yet they were saying there's no resurrection. So Paul is not advocating baptism for the dead. He's asking them a really silly question to get their attention. Here you are baptizing for the dead, and you don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. What's the point?
Right.
There is no point. Stop it. Focus on truth. Jesus was raised from the dead. If he wasn't, it's all over anyway. But he actually was. Get rid of this other garbage and keep focused on Jesus.
Yeah. We do all sorts of things as human beings in honor of the dead. We light candles. We say prayers on their behalf and all of these sort of things. And that was one of the habits. They were baptizing on behalf of the dead. And Paul is trying to move them away from a habit which is not really anchored in any truth. It's just something that we've come up with. We think that's a good thing to do.
Yes.
And he's trying to move us away from that habit that has us just floating out there to anchor us to truth. Christ actually came and became one of us. He inhabited a body. He was flesh and blood. He lived among us. There was this real person named Jesus. He died a physical death on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago. It's a historical fact. That body that hung and bled and died on that Roman cross was lifted off of that cross, was taken by Joseph of Arimathea. It was put into a tomb. A stone was rolled over it. A Roman guard was set in front of it to protect so that no one could come in and steal the body. Yet on the third day, early in the morning, things happened. Strange things, an earthquake and all this sort of stuff. And that stone rolled away. God raised Jesus, the body of Jesus, from the dead, and Jesus walked out of that tomb. It's yeah. empty today. That actually happened. That's true. It's a true story. And Paul is trying to anchor us to that true story. We don't have to wonder about the dead. We don't have to worry about those things. God has already taken care of it. God has already entered into our world and said, here is the answer. Here is the solution. Resurrection. Resurrection. Jesus died to take away sin that would keep us from eternal life. He did that once and for all. He was raised from the dead. Those who believe in him have everlasting life. And even though their bodies may go into a grave, they're alive forevermore. They're simply absent from the body, present with the Lord. So Paul is saying, let's move away from these silly habits.
Yes.
Because that's all they are. They don't reflect any true belief in anything. You have a resurrection that actually happened. 500 people saw this resurrected Jesus at one time. Put your faith in what's real and what's true. Be anchored there, and everything else will fall into place for you. So it's a great thing that Paul is doing here.
Yes,
isn't
he
it?
Is. And the tragedy is that this isn't just some pagan mythology thing from thousands of years ago. The same thing happens right now today.
Yes.
The admonition is just as relevant today. Get rid of the silliness, focus on Jesus every time, every time, every situation, stay focused on Jesus.
Yes. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to come in and pose your question or your particular issue to discuss at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Richard has a question from email, by email that he's going to read right now, and the reason that I'm not reading it, friends, is because he broke my email machine while I was gone. So, there. Go ahead now, big guy.
I'm sorry, Bob. This is from Isha, who writes from Virginia. I believe if we ask questions to God about a situation, God will always answer in some form. If something immediately comes to mind after I ask a question, I usually take it as God's answer. However, now I am doubting that. Are the answers simply coming from my mind, and I'm just assuming it is from God? And here's why. Recently, what I thought was an answer troubled someone, and I know God wouldn't want me to trouble anyone. So how do I learn to recognize and receive answers from God?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
We all pray. We're all wanting answers from God, but we kind of leave it there. We're not sure if he actually answers us. And if he does, how? How does he answer us? And I think it gets back to, you know, how are we supposed to pray? You know, what are we supposed to pray for? We, as children of God, can pray for anything and everything. We
Yes.
can make all of our requests known to God. But there are some things that God really wants for us, and that's for us to really experience his will. And to live out what he has for us in this particular life. And that will is for us to love him. That will is for us to be an expression of his life in this world. And so those are the things that we need to watch for, to look out for, and to see how God is manifesting the fruit of his life in and through us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. How is God manifesting those things in our lives? And I think when we start looking for those particular markers, so to speak, then we will see how God is answering our prayers. And I think that's very, very important. So if God is teaching you how to trust him, your prayers are being answered. If he is manifesting his life through you, your prayers are being answered. That's what the will of God is for you. Now, as far as, you know, things that we pray for, we pray, you know, for, you know, those that we love who are sick to be well. And sometimes that works out, sometimes that doesn't. And so part of the prayer is not so much that God is going to answer those things, but it kind of connects our heart to that person in a deeper way. And we get to, through that prayer, be a vessel of love from God to that person. And so a lot of times our prayers serve in that capacity. It's the way in which we get connected to God. I mean, we're already connected. Christ lives in us, for goodness sakes. Yeah. We can't get much more connected.
But we become aware of it more.
That's right, within our minds and that sort of thing. But we get connected to the person in a much deeper way. And so I think that's one of the great values of prayer. And so if we see ourselves getting connected to the people that we're praying for, like that, I think that's an answer to prayer as well. That's a part of the reason that we pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's also, especially in the context of praying for other people about things that are happening in their lives, what God's will for them is exactly the same as God's will for me. Now, it'll be expressed slightly differently in their lives, but if I'm being impressed to pray for someone who's going through some situation or needs to help in making a decision, it's going to be those promises of the new covenant, his will for them. It's going to be that they grow closer to him, that they become more knowledgeable of who he is, rather than, well, obviously, Lord, they need this particular job. Well, maybe they do and maybe they don't. But if they are learning to walk by faith in Jesus Christ, then however that job works out, will be for the best, because they will see from a different perspective. And that's really what we're praying for them, just as we pray for ourselves.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Well, friends, if you're not living a life of assurance in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a CD that can help. It's by Bob Christopher. It's called God's Will for You, and it's yours with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just click the large link on the homepage at basicgospel.net, or 24 hours a day, you can call 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or online at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of God's Will for You by Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And, you know, this whole subject of God's will is so vitally important for us. We say that we want God's will to happen in our lives. And a lot of times we think of that in just terms of a plan. You know, I've got two job opportunities. I want to know God's will. Is it job A or job B? And oftentimes we get stuck in the mud trying to make a decision. Actually, we just become paralyzed with fear, and we don't make a decision at all because we're afraid. We're afraid we're going to miss God's will for our lives. That's why we put together this CD, to cut through that confusion and help people experience the freedom in choosing those things that they desire in their lives, and to do so with confidence, knowing that God will work all things together for good. Maybe it wasn't the right decision, but God is bigger than that decision, and God can take that old circumstance and work it together for your good. So you can trust him in that. So learning that truth, learning that promise, learning to stand squarely on that promise gives you incredible freedom just to live life on a day-to-day basis. And that's so vitally important for us. We have to first and foremost realize that if we're in Christ, we're already in the heart and soul of God's will for us. That was God's will, for us to be made alive together with Christ, to move us out of darkness into light, out of the kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of his Son. That's where we are today. So we are in the will of God. We bear the name, child of God, saint. That's exactly what God wanted for us. We have everlasting life. That's what God wanted for us.
Yeah.
We have God's Spirit living in us. That's what God wanted for us. That was his will for each and every one of us. So every single believer is right in the heart of that will, isn't he?
Yes.
And he will never get outside of it. It's what we call grace. We're standing in grace. We will never get outside of grace. Now, we may do deeds of darkness. We may think crazy, unrealistic thoughts. But that's just part of being human. But we're still in the will of God. And we still have God who is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we can trust him. And that's the whole deal. That's the whole deal. I'm going to trust him. And he's going to work all things together for good. It just relaxes you.
Yes.
And boy, does God get a smile on his face when he sees that his children are relaxed in his love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. There's no better place to be. I mean, I love going to the beach, and I love just sitting in a beach chair, just relaxed as if, you know, nothing bad is going on in the world. Well, it's even better to be relaxed in the very loving arms of Christ himself.
Yes.
And that's where we are as children of God. So let's relax and allow Christ just to do his thing in and through us.
Yeah.
You're going to see incredible things happen, I guarantee you. So that's what this will of God is all about. That's why we've been talking about this all month, because we really want to take the confusion out of that subject. We want to take the frustration away from you trying to find that proverbial needle in a haystack. You don't have to do that. You're already exactly where God wants you to be. God's Spirit has delivered you there once and for all. You stand holy in his sight, set apart for his use, perfect forever because of the shed blood of Christ Jesus. And if that isn't good news, I don't know what good news is.
Indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I actually remember when my prayers changed from, which of the 43 options is your will, Lord, to help me think clearly and truthfully while relying on you. And it was almost unbelievable, but the options started to disappear because some of them weren't truthful. Some of them weren't aligned with what is revealed in the Bible. And decision-making went from fear to faith,
right,
and trust, and life got a lot easier. It really did. And so I agree completely with you. If people will rely on Jesus, they're going to see miraculous things happen in their lives.
Yeah, and that's when the Christian life really gets to be fun, just an adventure. As Ravi Zacharias said, a perpetual novelty. We can wake up every day just expecting a new surprise from God, and that's what God is like. I mean, he can't be boxed in. We can't put lines around him and say he's always within this. We have to realize that he is so much bigger, and he is full of surprises for us each and every day.
Yeah.
That's the good news of this Christian life that we live.
It's the kind of stuff you hear every day on Basic Gospel, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Well, friends, once again, when you give through Basic Gospel, you help to keep the good news on the air. And as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy of Bob's CD, God's Will for You, a message to solidify your assurance that within the new covenant, you're always in the center of God's will. To make your gift and request your copy of God's Will for You, just click that large link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Or you can phone 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or online at basicgospel.net. We'd like to get a copy of that CD, God's Will for You, into your hands. Well, that's our broadcast for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.